Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 12, verse 34 to 48. Just highlighted the verse 35 to the 40. The title is The Gird Your Loins, the part 2. I'd like to read the text. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight, and be like a man who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves of whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and to have them recline at the table, and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and find them, so blessed are those slaves. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. This is word of God. In the Bible, the phrase, gird up your loins, is used to describe the act of the preparing for something, and we've seen that the first thing a person who has been commissioned by God to do is to gird up his or her loins. Listen to the voice of God, understand the will of God, and be loyal to the best of his or her ability to fulfill it. In today's text, the Lord is saying that a missionary who welcomes the returning Lord must also gird his loins. I didn't have time to read the whole passage, but I'm going to testify up to verse 48. There are three main parables that the Lord used to talk about his return. The first, in the verse from the 35 to 38, is about the servant's attitude toward his master returning from the wedding feast. The second, in verse from the 39 to 40, is about being the master of a house against the thieves. And the third, in verse from the 41 to 48, is about the master and the steward who must take care of the property and the servant on behalf of the master who has gone away on a long journey. All three of these parables are speaking to what the life of a believer is supposed to be like as an end-time missionary to greet the Lord at his returns. As we know, a Jewish wedding feast begins at the night and doesn't end until dawn. It is showing the image of a servant who does not sleep until his master returns home, but stand awaiting with a belt around his waist and a torch, which is the image of a faithful person who waits for the Lord who is coming back blessed. The text is telling us that the wearing a belt around the waist and riding a torch is the posture that God wants. There are two main reasons why we should be standing awake with the belt around our waist and the torch in our hand at the end of time. The first is because we are those who are waiting for the Lord to return. In today's text, the one with the belt around his waist is the one waiting for his master, verse 36, that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. He's the one who is ready to open the door at the sound of a single knock. He is the one who stands behind the door with a torch, his ears attentive to any sound outside the door. He doesn't want to miss a single step, a single sound from his master. The servant's desire right now is to his master to return quickly. Amen. What is our hope? Is it to live on this earth with all the rewards we deserve for our faith? Are we living in rich health and peace of mind that will be gone in an instant if God blows them away and we forget our hope in God? The Bible says that if our hope is in this world and only this world, we are the most pitiful of all peoples. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible said, if we have half in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Our true hope is eternal salvation, which will be fulfilled in the Lord's return. According to the Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25, the Apostle Paul described what kind of attitude of the believer who waiting for the second Lord coming. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with the perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Amen. It should be our natural hope that we will enter into the new heavens and new earth with the Lord when He returns. We don't know exactly when He'll come, but to those who wait for Him, or for His coming and walk to Heston that day, He comes. And when He does, we receive the new heavens and the new earth as our inheritance. So is the Apostle Peter talked to us, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven, a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is the moment when we eat the fruit of the tree of life. Amen, isn't it? He who has his meeting with the Lord at hand is not tired, even though he wait till dawn, though he stand upright with his loincloth girt and his torch light. This is because meeting the Lord will end all their suffering and sorrow on earth and bring them peace, joy, and the fulfillment of their hope for the future. You can see that the Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Amen. Even the misunderstanding and the humiliation we received because of the world, because of the church, is incomparable to the honor, glory, and praise that those who share in the Lord's suffering and wait and hope for Him to the end will receive when He returns. Amen. So is the Apostle Paul is increased to us in the Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Amen. And also the Apostle Peter talked to us. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what misunderstanding and the dirty tricks we may have to endure, the praise, glory, and honor that the Lord brings us at His appearing will be all our reward. Amen. The Lord cannot come to one who longs for Him like a thief. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and verse 4, you can find out, "For you yourself know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief." So, as a knowing that the reward is so great for those who hold fast to the word to the end, who keep their peace and defend the church, and who never miss the reward to come, may they be blessed forever, as the Master has commanded today in the name of the Lord. These are the ones who are truly waiting for the Lord and the kingdom of God. Amen. Secondly, it is because our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You can find out that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The only way to fight the devil and be victorious is to be vigilant in prayer and steadfast in faith. And at times, the resist the devil and he will flee from you, according to the James chapter 4, verse 7, testify to us. When we resist the devil, he has no choice but to tuck his tail and flee from us. In fact, Peter had been tempted many times by Satan, the devil, so he was extremely cautious in this area. The Lord spoke words of caution to him at the Last Supper. According to the Luke chapter 2, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." And in the garden of the Gethsemane, while he was with the Lord in prayer, he spoke unto him words of warning. Let's find out Luke chapter 22, verse 40. "And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptations.' While the Lord was engaged in spiritual battle with the Satan, sweating drops of blood, Peter succumbed to temptation and fell asleep instead of praying. This sleep represented not only physical rest, but also a failure to remain spiritually alert and serve as a protective wall of prayer for the Lord. In contrast, the Lord prayed for them, preventing them from becoming prey to the devil. Thus, Peter realized that the importance of being spiritually alert. That is why he spoke of guard your mind for actions in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We must guard our heart and not give the devil an opportunity. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. The devil seeks to capture even the heart of the devils and lead them into downfall. And you can see that the Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Just think about how many trials and tribulations we have faced so far. We must strive to maintain our faith until the end. How unfair it would be to falter and leave now. But if we are not spiritually alert, distracted by worldly affairs and worries, we will fall prey to the devil. In the Jesus warning to us in the Luke chapter 21, verse 34, be on guard that your heart may not be weighed down the dissipations and the drunkenness and the worries of life, and that they come on you suddenly like a trap. Just think about how many trials and hardship we have endured so far. We must hold on to our faith until the very end. How unjust it would be to hesitate, fall, and walk away now. We all need to see this through to the finish. Amen. So Jesus encouraged to us in the Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. Amen. Finally, the Lord speaks of the steward mission, which is to be a good steward of the property and the servant entrusted to him on behalf of the master of the house, who is away on a long journey. Faithful stewards are those who fulfill their duties diligently and loyally, taking on even greater responsibility in the absence of their master, guarding themselves against temptation or doing things that are not in accordance with the master's wishes. The master praised them and called them blessed. What was it that this loyal and wise servant had done? In Luke chapter 12, verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and the sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servant to give them their rations at the proper time? Give them their rations at the proper times. Here the wise and the faithful steward refer to those entrusted with the church, the body of Christ after his resurrection and ascension. This is akin to the servant in the parable of the talent, who were given talent according to their abilities. In other words, the believers assigned to take respective roles and responsibilities are called to be faithful in their duties, especially to provide food in due season means not just sharing physical sustenance, but fulfilling the work of God and contributing to its completions. According to the John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. It is by preaching and spreading the gospel of Jesus, which has been entrusted to us, that the gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth, that we will distribute our food at the end of time. Let's look at the Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For thus the Lord has commanded us, I have pressed you as a light for the Gentiles, then you should bring salvation to the end of the earth. But whoever, knowing that he has no master, forget his responsibility and the mission, the squanders his properties, mistreat and beat the servants under him, and does as he pleases without regard to his master's will, is an unrighteous steward. The wicked steward thought, my master is delayed. The original imperative also includes expecting that which has not come to pass. When the master came later than he expected, he acted arbitrarily, hoping in vain that the master would not come. This selfishness is bound to come to an end, for the Master will surely come in due time. And all that time there will be reward and punishment for each of the servant from the Master. But here the Lord said, I will reward those who have not done the will of Master. You will see that the punishment of the one who knew his master's will and did not do it is different from the punishment of the who did not know his master's will and did not do it. You can see that Luke chapter 12, verse 47 to 48. Those who know what God desires but fail to act will face severe consequences. These individuals have been anointed and appointed by God, including pastors, elders, deacons, and other church leaders. Positions or roles within the church are not given to elevate oneself or exert authority. They are meant for service and labor. Therefore, those who prioritize their own authority and neglect the responsibility entrusted to them by God will incur even greater punishment and disciplines. Today, we, the saints, are called to live lives of faithful stewardship. The greater the gift of the grace that we have received, the greater the privilege of the gospel we have enjoyed, the greater the responsibility we have to live faithfully and loyalty before God. Dear Saint, how eagerly do we live in the hope of the Lord's coming, realizing that our time is short, and that we must wait for it at all costs and not fall prey to the device of Satan to hinder and disappoint those who live in hope of it, and thus become enemies of the church and things of God. The Lord will surely come in, and he has said that he is coming soon. Therefore, let us live each day ascertaining whether we are loyal to the mission he has entrusted to us with all our lives. This is the life of living with the gird around our heart. We cannot make excuse for what we have not done because of anyone else, for each one will receive what he has done. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. We read together and we finish. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Please open up your Bible. Matthew 16, verse 27. I'd like to read. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. I bless you in Jesus' name that you will make good use of the talent and ears you have entrusted to me. Amen.